Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much, Petey, for that very, very kind introduction. It is such a privilege to be here today to speak to you all a little bit about kind of my journey these past few months. But just like Petey mentioned, I am heading back to Canada tonight. My visa literally expires today, and my flight's like 15 minutes before the expiration date. So let's pray that things are on time. But yeah, just like Petey mentioned, I've been here for basically a quarter of my life. I flew into Perth like the week I turned 22, and I just turned 29 yesterday. So it's, thank you. That's why I brought it up, actually. So, it's been a quarter of my life. It's been 100% of my professional working life that I've been here. So I have to learn the workforce back in Canada. I have to learn how to look for jobs and back in Canada. So it's going to be a very weird time. But I think that God, or I know that God has taught me a lot about myself and about who he is and his character since I made this decision back in March until now. And so my prayer and my hope is that I get to kind of share a little bit of that experience with you all here today. My emotions are a little bit unpredictable, so this could be a complete mess or I'm stone cold, so it's one of the two. I apologize in advance for what comes out. We won't know until it happens. So, I would just love to kick off our gathering here this morning with a prayer as we just, seek God for wisdom and clarity for this this morning. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are already here in this place. Lord, we don't have to ask you to come, but Holy Spirit, you are already dwelling inside of our hearts and inside of this place, inside of our rooms if we're tuning in online. Wherever we are, God, you are always with us. So Lord, we just pray right now, God, that you just take over my words from this moment on, God, that my words fall to the ground, but Holy Spirit, you just take over and your words land on people's hearts because you are in the transformation. So use me, Lord, as a vessel just to bless whoever is here, whoever can hear the sound of my voice, God, and just help them to just experience God in a fresh and a new way. And everyone say it together with me. Amen. 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 You know, people often ask me or have been asking me quite a lot lately, like, how are you going? Like, how are you doing with everything? How are you going with the whole transition and the whole leaving? And to be honest, it's a bit up and down. But when I think about and I reflect on kind of really how I'm going, it's actually a sadness, but I'm going to be missing the people. I think it's the people and the relationships that have really kind of affected me the most, and realizing that these conversations that I'm having with people is just going to be different when I'm in a different country. And I think that's the thing that I'm most kind of sad about, and that's the thing that I'm mourning the most at the moment. If I'm being super honest, I'm not worried about what's to come. I'm not really worried about the future. I have a lot of confidence, actually, that God is going to take care of me. He's going to provide in the way that only he can provide. But I can't help but think about the things that I'm leaving behind. I can't help to think about the relationships that I formed, about the experiences that I've had in this space, and just to think how God has moved in my life here and has formed me and shaped me into the person I am today, and just to think how that's going to change, and that's going to be different, and that's going to look different. But what I really love about kind of thinking and looking back is that even though change is inevitable, even though that things happen and transitions happen, that actually God is consistent through it all. God is the same today, he is the same yesterday, he is the same forevermore, and I'm just really just so joyful to be able to serve and to believe in a God who is so consistent and is so reliable, because it helps things like change and transition so much better. But if I'm being super honest, I've had a lot of time to think and pray about kind of this whole time of transition and change. And I think what I've noticed about myself is I've actually reached the highest of highs, but I've also reached the lowest of lows in these past few months. I've said more things that I've regret in my entire life in the past few months, but I've also had some of the best experiences in my entire life over these past few months. And I think these kind of things happen to me because actually, as a human, as a person, I don't really like change. I don't look forward to change. I don't really kind of like can't wait for change kind of person. And to be honest, I think a lot of us in this room, or if you're tuning in online, actually probably sit in the same category. We naturally maybe don't like change. We don't like transition. We don't like adapting, because often it requires something inside of us to change as well. Maybe on the outside we say we like change, but when it actually comes to changing, it's actually quite painful, and it actually can be quite difficult. The thing is, I'm standing here today, and obviously I'm going through a time of change and transition, but I'm believing that also there are people in this room here today who are going through a time of change and transition. And to be honest, everyone's heart is hard. You know, you might be thinking up here, sitting where you are, looking up here, being like, hey, that's a lot that he's going through. Like, I can see that God's going to be moving in John's life, but what about me? But actually, your heart is hard as well. Like it's important not to compare our stories too much with each other, but just to be present and be honest with ourselves about what actually is hard for ourselves, because everyone's heart is different, but God speaks and meets us exactly where we're at, regardless of what we find hard. But the thing that I found myself asking these past few months especially is this question, and it's this: what kind of person do I want to be in the midst of change? What kind of person do I want to be in the midst of change? Because like I said, the reality is that we're all going to go through a time of change and transition at some point in our lives. We're all going to go through a time where we maybe need to look for a job, or maybe in a transition of relationships, or a transition with our family or with finances. Whatever it is, we're all going to go through a time of change and transition. My question that I want to ask, and I'm hopefully going to be answering here today, is what kind of person do you want to be in the midst of change? Because I truly believe that God calls us to be a certain kind of person. God calls us to be a certain kind of human as a follower of Jesus in a time of midst of change. And I think it's important to answer, who do I want to be during these times? You know, this is the space that I found myself to be in the most in these past few months, trying to answer this question. And it's honestly where I feel like God has spoken to me the most. And so what I want to do with my time here today is to talk about this space between, to talk about this thing that we call this in-between space. And I just pray that I hope that for maybe you're here today and you find yourself in a similar space of transition, a similar space of change, and I hope that this speaks to you right where you're at. But also I realize that maybe this might speak to you and it might bring clarity to a past situation of change. Or perhaps for you, you're going to be entering into a time of change very shortly. But regardless of where you find yourself here today, I just pray that God meets you and he speaks to you. And I believe that if we have a heart of expectation, he will do just that. The first thing I want to do is this, because I think actually language brings a lot of clarity to our situations. And so what I want to do is just bring some language around this, some common language that we can kind of use and I want to be using throughout the rest of my message. And it's also the title of my message, and I'm calling it the liminal space. You probably would have seen it on the screens already. But by definition, the liminal spaces are defined as the physical spaces between one destination and the next. It's the physical spaces between one destination and the next. In other words, it's you've left somewhere, but you haven't quite arrived to where you're going yet. You've left one space, but you haven't quite arrived at your destination yet. And that's what I'm calling a liminal space. And the truth is, without even realizing, without even noticing, we actually travel through liminal spaces on a daily basis. You know, the moment that you wake up and you leave your bedroom to go to the kitchen, that hallway is a liminal space. It's a space of transition. You know, the moment that you leave your house to go to work and you get into your car and you drive down the freeway, that freeway is a liminal space. A little bit more of a personal example for me is airports are a liminal space. You know, I'm going to be going to the airport tonight, and I'm not going to be at my home anymore, but I'm also not arriving at my destination yet. It's a place of transition. It's a place between. It's the liminal space. You know, I was doing some research on the original use of liminal space, and it's actually an anthropology word, and it was used and has been used and it is being used to really describe a time of transition and a change of status. We see it in a lot of different cultures where maybe a boy gets sent into the wilderness and he has to kind of fulfill some sort of task or quest, and when he comes back, he's no longer a boy, but he's become a man. And it's this kind of this transition, this wilderness space, this space between that we call the liminal space. And that thing, the time away in these liminal spaces, it does something metamorphic inside of us. It changes us. And so the first thing that I want to say about liminal spaces is that liminal spaces can forever change who you are. Liminal spaces have the ability to change who you are forever. I actually believe that liminal spaces have the ability to transform you even more than the destination itself that you were going. Often it's the journey, often it's the road we travel that changes us the most, even more so than the end destination. You know, as I was preparing my message here for this morning, I was kind of just praying and trying to feel out the room and see who would be here. And I really just felt like there's a people here today who are honestly going through a liminal space. There are people, a lot of people here today who are traveling and journeying through a liminal space of your own. It might not look like mine, but maybe your liminal space has to do with a time of work. Maybe you've just been offered a job that pays more money or has great benefits or looks really, really good, but you're not really sure if it's the thing that God has called you into. Maybe you're pregnant right now and you're navigating what this new opportunity, this new change of lifestyle, this new adaptation is gonna look like for yourself. And maybe you're in a relationship in a time of liminal spaces where you're waiting for something to happen, you're waiting for something to change, and you haven't quite got there yet, but you're not where you used to be as well. But regardless of where you are, I believe that whether you're in a liminal space now, whether you have been in the past, or you're going to be in the future, I believe God has something to speak to you about it. The story that I want to share from you today is from the book of Acts, and it's actually written by a guy by the name of Luke, but this part of Acts, he's actually speaking and writing a bit of biography about another guy by the name of Paul. And Paul, for those who are familiar, maybe you've been in church for a little while, you would know that Paul has written a large part of our New Testament. He's one of the more famous characters and the famous people that we talk about when we refer to the Bible. He's written some wisdom in there. But basically, Paul, he's going through a rough time. Long story short, he's just going through a massive, massive kind of lifestyle change. And he's going through a time of persecution. He's going through a time of transition. Kind of to set up the story that I'm about to share with you, Paul, basically he's being accused of something that he didn't do. He's being put on trial and he's being sent back to Rome because he's a Roman citizen. And so he has to get on this boat. And he has to get on this boat to go back to Rome, and it takes like multiple weeks to get back there. And 2 weeks into his trip back to Rome, the ship that he's on actually hits him. It enters into a storm, and story short, all the passengers of this boat have to literally jump ship and swim to the nearest piece of land. And the nearest piece of land is the island of Malta, and that's where we pick up our story. So if you have your Bibles here today, I'd love for you to join along. It's from Acts 28. We're reading verses 1 to 11, and the voice, the author is Luke, and again, he's talking about Paul. Verse 1, it says, "Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake, driven out by the heat, bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, 'A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live.' But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or suddenly drop dead, but when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. Near the shore where we landed was an estate belonging to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us and treated us kindly for 3 days. As it happened, Publius's father was ill with a fever and dysentery. Paul went in and prayed for him, and laying his hands on him, he healed him. Then all the other sick people on the island came and were healed. As a result, we were showered with honors, and when the time came to sail, people supplied us with everything we would need for the trip. It was 3 months after the shipwreck that we set sail on another ship that had wintered at the island." The first point I want to make here today, and it might be stating the obvious a little bit, but my first point is this: you are not meant to live in the liminal space. You are not meant to stay in the space between forever. It's not meant to be your end destination. Liminal space is literally that, a space between. In other words, there is a set time in which God has purposed you to stay in this land between. But the thing is, how we wait will often determine how long we wait. Our posture, our character, our attitude, what we do, how we conduct ourselves will often dictate how long we wait in the liminal space. You know, just because it's not happening the way that we would like, just because it's not happening in our own time frame, does not mean that God isn't working. You know, the thing is, we often think in terms of Instagram and instant results, and we want things done in 3 days, but actually God is taking 3 months to work out things behind the scenes, but we don't see God working at hand, and we can often get frustrated. You might have missed it, but the beginning verses, it speaks on Paul's heart posture in his liminal space, and it says this: Once we were safe on shore, we learned that we were on the island of Malta. The people of the island were very kind to us. It was cold and rainy, so they built a fire on the shore to welcome us. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, Paul and the 276 other passengers were welcomed to the shore of this island, and they were greeted with open arms. But even in that time, Paul chose to do something. Paul chose to contribute. Paul chose to do the next right thing. You know, he chose to gather sticks. He chose to contribute, even though all the people on the island were already building the fire. The fire was already built. But he chose to do the next right thing. So often when we face our shipwrecks in this life, so often when we face our trials and tribulations, we just collapse. We just stop and we get frustrated and we say, woe is me, and we just stop and we get paralyzed and we get frustrated and we get angry. But the thing is, we weren't designed to live in the liminal space. And oftentimes how we conduct ourselves in the liminal space will determine just how long we will actually stay there. But I truly believe that you'll never know what God can do for you until you can experience what he can do through you. I truly believe that you'll never fully know what God can do for you until you've experienced what God can do through you. And oftentimes through serving, through loving each other, through loving your neighbor, through doing the next right thing, we can actually experience God through us, and therefore we actually can see God's plan for us. And maybe that's the thing that you needed to hear today. Maybe that's the one thing that someone here just needed to hear. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't stop doing the next right thing. I understand you might be frustrated. I understand that it might be a painful time in your transition. But don't give in to that 5 minutes of release of pain and sacrifice your eternal purpose on this earth. The liminal space is necessary. Why? Because there are things that God wants to develop inside of you. There's things that God wants to change. There's things that God wants to swap. There's things that God wants to refine inside of you, your character, who you are, some of the ways that you think. But it requires that liminal space. It requires that wilderness period. It requires that hallway time. It requires that airport season to be able to understand and fully know and to give it that time and space for God to actually move in our lives. But often we have to do the next right thing to experience that as well. You know, it's really easy to get frustrated and impatient in the liminal space. But I actually believe that liminal spaces is actually God's love. And it's actually a gift. It's God's grace for us. You know, our God loves us so much that he's not going to throw us into our next chapter. He's not going to throw us into our next thing until we're actually ready to be in that next chapter. I believe that God allows us to go through these liminal spaces, allows us to go through these times of transitions so that we can develop ourselves and we can actually fulfill and succeed in the plans and the purposes that God has planned for us. But so often we have a 2D dimensional view of how God's moving. We can't see actual God's purpose for us. But I believe that when we're stuck in these liminal spaces, we're not actually able to move on from these liminal spaces. Actually, that's a form of God's grace because we haven't maybe learned that thing that God wants to speak to us on so that we can fulfill, that we can thrive in that next chapter of our lives. And so I believe that's completely just a gift, an absolute amazing gift that God gives us. The second lesson that we can learn from Paul in his liminal space is to not settle for the replica. This is the second thing I want to say. In your liminal space, don't settle for the replica. This world is always going to throw distractions your way. There's always going to be things that pop up. There's always going to be temptations. There's always going to be things that are things that look like God's purpose for your life, but you know they're not. And that's what we call a replica. It's not quite the real thing. And there's always going to be these distractions that are going to be thrown away. The thing is, the replica of our purpose will never be as good as God's purpose for you. The replica of your purpose will never be as fulfilling and as powerful and as meaningful as the actual purpose that God has given you. So don't settle for the replica. You know, if we continue from where we left off, this is what it says in Acts 28, verses 3-6. As Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake driven up by the heat bit him on the hand. The people of the island saw it hanging from his hand and said to each other, "A murderer, no doubt. Though he escaped the sea, justice will not permit him to live." But Paul shook off the snake into the fire and was unharmed. The people waited for him to swell up or to suddenly drop dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw that he wasn't harmed, they changed their minds and decided he was a god. You know, to be honest, in this moment, I feel a lot for Paul. I can really, really feel for him in this time. He is going through an absolute roller coaster. Again, just to recap, he has just been accused of something that he didn't do, and he's going to go stand trial. He has to get on this boat that lands into a storm. Then he has to jump ship. He has to swim to this island. He finally gets the sweet release of hospitality. He does the next right thing to contribute, just to be bitten by a poisonous snake. And then God intervenes and he heals them, not too early to be called a murderer, though. And by the time that God heals him, the people recognize that, and then he gets called a god, all in a day's work. Like, the amount of roller coaster, the amount of up and down that Paul must have been feeling in this is absolutely insane. It's absolutely astounding. I can't imagine what he was going through. But to be honest, if I'm thinking about myself and if I was in Paul's shoes, I can feel that I might not be unreasonable to settle for the replica in this moment, or at least the thought to cross his mind. You know, he was literally called a god. He could have said, hey, you know what, God? I tried my best. I did everything possible to further your message. I did everything in my ability to do the next right thing. I contributed when I didn't want to. I was obedient even when I thought I was scared, or even when I didn't know if I was doing enough, but I did everything that I really felt like I was going to do. And then I got bitten by a snake and they called me a murderer. God, I am just so, so frustrated. And now these people are calling me a god. What if I just stay here and live a life in luxury here on this island? I could be a god to these people. I could live out the rest of my days in complete fulfillment as a small g god, and I think I would have a good time. And these replicas can come in our ways, these distractions, these thoughts can come in our direction, and oftentimes it's tempting to entertain those thoughts. But the thing I want to ask you here today, what are the replicas that you are settling for? Or to take it one step further, what are the replicas that you have already settled for in replacement of the actual God-given purpose that he has for your life? Maybe for you, it's a job that pays more money. Maybe for you, it's a job that has better benefits. Maybe for you, it's a relationship that you know you really shouldn't be going into, and the people around you are warning you about it, but you're settling for a replica anyways. Or maybe for you, it's a time where you have to make massive decisions, and you're just rushing into decisions because it's the most easy and the most convenient thing to do. And far too often, we face our shipwrecks or we face our snake bites or we face our temptations. And instead of having a posture of faith through those times, we decide to take things into our own hands. We decide to take things into our own control. Now, I just want to make things super clear that oftentimes these distractions aren't inherently bad things. You know, God wants us to have a job. God wants us to have a good vocation. God is happy when we're successful. God wants us to have a relationship. God wants us to make decisions and be proud of our decisions. But oftentimes when we make these decisions and we know that they're not the right thing, we're settling for the replica instead of God's purpose for us. And I truly believe that when we choose to be obedient to God instead of being obedient to ourselves, then these are the moments that we can truly experience metamorphic growth. In other words, God uses liminal spaces to transform you. God uses liminal spaces to transform you. God loves you so much. He truly, truly loves you so much, but he loves you too much to leave you as you are. God loves you too much to let you stay where you are. So God uses liminal spaces. God uses these spaces between these times of transition and these times of change in order to grow us, to develop this character. And yes, it can be painful. Yes, it can be uncomfortable. Yes, it can be excruciating. But the thing is, these are the times that God is actually transforming. He's changing. He's developing something inside of us. But it takes obedience and it takes self-control. You know, stopping in the island of Malta, to be honest, really seems like the most random part of like the entire Bible. Like why? I asked myself, like, why was that even included? Like, there's not that much added value. There's not that much. Jesus isn't really mentioned in those in that portion. And I'm kind of like wondering to myself, like, what is the purpose of this story? And I think the thing that I landed on, I don't have all the answers, but the thing I landed on is that I think that really, Paul and God through Paul really wanted us to understand and resonate with the fact that sometimes there's going to be detours in our life. Sometimes there's going to be our islands of Malta where things don't go the way we planned, but oftentimes we need to respond to the opportunities that are in front of us and do the next right thing. So the question I want to ask you here today are, what opportunities are in front of you right now? Maybe you're in your liminal space. Maybe you're in your time of transition. Maybe you're stuck on an island in your mind. Maybe you're stuck at the airport, or you're stuck on the freeway, or you're stuck in the hallway. And you're asking yourself, when will I be out of here? Well, instead of asking yourself that question, I want you to ask yourself this question. What opportunities are in front of you right now? Because oftentimes God has already preordained people and relationships around you. He's provided opportunities that are already at your fingers' grasp. He's already provided conversations and opportunities for you to respond to. But so often we're so focused on us, we're so focused on what my purpose, what my destination, we're so focused on my liminal space that we forget the people around us. So my question to ask you here today is, what opportunities are already in front of you right now? Because I can think and I can imagine, I believe that when we respond in the way to the opportunities that are already in front of us right now, that we'll experience that metamorphic growth, that metamorphic change that only Jesus can do in our lives. You know, the liminal space doesn't have to define who we are. It doesn't have to define who we are as people. It's simply a stepping stone into a different thing, into a place of purpose. And I believe that when we put ourselves into this space, when I believe that there is more to come for every single one of us who enter these spaces. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was so inspired by Paul. I was so encouraged by the way he conducted himself. I was so just blown away by the way that he just held himself during this really, really stressful time. And I kept on asking myself, like, what is his motivation? Like, what is his reason for being able to cling on so strongly to his faith? What is his reason for being able to be so strong during such a terrible and really tough time? And the only thing that I can think about is that he encountered the living Jesus. That he encountered Jesus Christ, and he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he had to spread this good news to as many people as possible. So it didn't matter what came his way. It didn't matter what storms he went into. It didn't matter what islands he was stranded on. He knew his end destination was to spread the word of God and that God was going to use him mightily. In a few moments, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to put your faith in Jesus, maybe for the very first time. Before I do that, I just want to explain a little bit about who Jesus is. Because Jesus, to be honest, is the perfect example of the liminal space. For those who don't know, God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for our sins, for our mistakes, so that we wouldn't have to pay the penalty of sin, which is death. You know, Jesus died on a cross and rose 3 days later. And oftentimes, we only talk about this around Easter time. But to be honest, this time, this 3 days later, is the perfect example of a liminal space. It's that space between. You know, Jesus, during those 3 days when after he died, before he rose, you know, where was he? You know, he wasn't where he was. He wasn't on the cross, but he also hadn't arrived and he wasn't back on this earth. And the thing is, we can put our faith in this God because he did come back. He did come back from his liminal space. And because of that, we can put our faith and our trust in him because he did what he said he would do. He paid the ultimate penalty for our sins on the cross so that you and I, people who believe in him, have faith in him, can have eternal life. And so that's my invitation to every single person here today, is to put your faith in Jesus, maybe for the very first time. So what I'm going to do and ask everyone to do is just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a little bit of privacy for everyone here today who maybe will make that commitment for the very first time. You know, if you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to lead us through a time of response. And, you know, maybe you're here today and you don't feel like you have all the answers, but you just know that you want to put your faith in this Jesus, in God. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to count down from three, and if that's you here today, I'm just going to ask you to do something simple, and let's just raise your hand. No one else is looking. No one else is watching you. It's just between you and God. And it's just a physical response to something that's happening in the spiritual realm. And also, if you're online, if you're tuning in right now, I also want you to participate. And if you want to put your faith in Jesus for the very first time, I want you to put it in the comments. And someone is there monitoring it, and they want to pray with you, and they want to be with you as well. So that's you here today. If you want to put your faith in Jesus, I want you to raise your hand in 3, 2, 1. All across this room. Yeah, I see your hand at the back. Yeah, I see your hand in the middle. Yep, I see both your hands there in the middle. Amazing. Going to give this a little bit more time. Amazing. right? You can put your hands down for those who raised them. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to lead us through a time of prayer in response. And it's just a simple prayer, but it's a prayer of declaration of what this commitment means for you. And if you're a follower of Jesus already here today, if you consider yourself a Christian, I would love for you to support our new brothers and sisters by just also repeating this prayer after me. And so if everyone can just do that, I would love for you to support those who made that commitment here today. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. I am a sinner. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross, to become sin, so that I may be forgiven. From this day forth, my life will never be the same. Thank you for this new life. Amen. Amen. Can we give everyone a hand who made that commitment for the very first time? You know, it says in the Word of God that when you put your faith in Jesus for the first time, the heavens rejoice. And I truly believe that that just happened, literally just happened. And so I just want to say a huge congratulations. It's the absolute best decision you can ever make in your entire life. And we have the Inside Host will have a free Bible for you to grab straight after our gathering here today. And we have a New to Faith website that we would just love for you just to visit and to check out and to see what this decision might mean for you. And you're more than welcome to come talk to me or Daniel after this gathering as well to just have a chat about this decision you've made.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.